very hard on fitness and the running game.
That's what kind of led me to want this dream of being a racing driver.
There's no point in talking about anything except standards of excellence.
We will deal with the Tailteann Cup if we're in it, and we'll certainly give it every bit of respect.
There's no feeling that beats playing for Ireland. What's the
LFL? My God, I'm going to do everything that is possible to bring us there.
This is Sportsbeat Extra.
A very good afternoon to you all, and welcome to this week's Sportsbeat Extra. Aoife Kearns in the hot seat today for Andy Whelan. Coming up,
All-Ireland final now in the 21st of January. It's what stuff, you know, dreams are made of, really.
We'll be hearing all about tomorrow's All-Ireland Senior Club showdown between Kilkenny's O'Loughlin Gaels and St. Thomas's of Galway. But first, what's in a name, they say? Well, apparently a lot. Tomás McCarthy talks all things Páirc Caoimh.
Tracking sport across the southeast.
Sportsbeat Extra.
So one of the big talking points of the week this week was over the name of a sports ground in Cork. The county board in Cork saying that discussions are continuing with the commercial company SuperValu over the issue of naming rights to Páirc Caoimh. Joining me to discuss this is Tomás McCarthy, GAA writer with the Waterford News and Star, as well as the Irish Examiner. Tomás, did you ever think that there would be such a fuss over the name of a sports ground?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised, Aoife, because there's a lot of history tied up with Páirc Caoimh, and like this was a really kind of a landmark decision, because it would be the first time that the stadium name in GAA was completely changed in favour of a commercial sponsor. Like we're very familiar now with you know, naming rights in the GAA, the likes of, you know, taking the South East, the likes of UPMC Nolan Park, FBD Semple Stadium, Chadwick's Wexford Park. But I think for the name to be completely removed, I think was probably a step too far. You know, certainly for the Cork GAA people and like Cork people in general. So I think that's why there's been such a furore over this during the past week.
And you mentioned it there. Obviously, there are examples across the southeast region. You mentioned UPMC Nolan Park, Netwatch Cullen Park in Carlow as well. Several different stadia there, but in terms of Páirc Caoimh, I wouldn't have been too familiar with the Caoimh that was referred to in it. But even you had the Tánaiste of the country chiming in and talking about, I suppose, it really highlighted maybe the historical significance of these figures in terms of the GAA, and I suppose the importance in maybe, you know, having these names associated with parks and that kind of history.
Yeah, I think everybody has learned a lot about Rodrigo Caoimh over the past week. He felt like he was director general of the GAA for 35 years, and like he was on the founding members of Emo Rangers as well, which is probably why Tánaiste Micheál Martin felt so strongly about it. He's connected with that club in Cork. He said he was very disappointed and annoyed at the decision, and that was probably a fairly significant intervention in the whole story. That tweet from Micheál Martin in the hours leading up to the county board meeting during the week. And also a grandson, Donal O'Caoimh, said that nobody from the GAA contacted him about this renaming, which I think was probably a poor move from the Cork county board. You know, like the family weren't consulted in this process, and I think they probably should have been.
You'd imagine it will be quite difficult for SuperValu to continue on with their plans in terms of renaming Páirc Caoimh to SuperValu Park or whatever it might be, and removing the Caoimh at this point?
I think so, Aoife. Yeah, I think there'll probably be a compromise we come to know. I think we'll probably see SuperValu Páirc Caoimh be the name on the stadium going forward. That seemed to be the groundswell of opinion, certainly in the county board meeting during the week, and from various GAA figures across the board. I don't think there's any problem with that, because there is a realisation that Cork are in a lot of financial trouble. There's a 30 million euro debt currently on Páirc Caoimh, and like county teams came to around 2 million euros last year. So there is a cost of running Páirc Caoimh. There's a day-to-day cost of running county teams as well. So, you know, Cork do need that financial input. The deal that was reported in the Examiner was 1 million euros up to 2026. If it's named SuperValu Páirc Caoimh instead of SuperValu Park, does that mean that the deal won't be worth as much? I think that remains to be seen. But as you said, Aoife, Cork GAA did make a statement that negotiations are ongoing with SuperValu over the coming weeks and months.
And another thing of note about the meeting that was held between the Cork County Board and the commercial partners was that it was behind closed doors, which wouldn't be usual. And usually you'd have the likes of yourself, Tomás, or other GAA reporters, journalists, attending these county board meetings.
That's correct, Aoife. Yeah, look, I've been reporting on Waterford County Board meetings for the last 10 years or so, and there hasn't been any issue. Like, there is times where there is financial or commercially sensitive information that part of the meeting will be held in camera. But reporters, local reporters, have been welcomed at county board meetings, and John Fogarty reported last week that that is the case in the other Munster counties as well. So, you know, Cork have come out with this move. I think they feel that there was commercially sensitive information being shared in the public that didn't want disclosed, and they also felt that club delegates would speak more freely if journalists weren't in attendance. Now, look, I think it will probably be more transparent from the Cork County Board point of view to continue to allow journalists to attend, but that's the decision they've come to. And both the other counties don't follow suit in that regard.
And do you think that this could potentially set some sort of a precedent in that when it comes to other naming rights for parks? I'm thinking in my head here about Waterford, and obviously that's your main area that you cover, Tomás. The future of Welsh Park and potentially a commercial attachment. Do you think that what is happening here in Cork will set some sort of a precedent there?
Absolutely. I feel like it's happening all across the country. I think the naming rights for Welsh Park are up for grabs. You know, that was confirmed at the annual convention before Christmas by County Board Chairman Sean Michael O'Regan. They are in negotiations with sponsors as regards naming rights for Welsh Park. Like, phase one of the project is completed and completed under budget as well. They're looking at starting phase two of the project now, but they're certainly looking at naming rights. I expect that'll come down the tracks pretty soon. They're also looking for a tier one sponsor as well, because currently there's no sponsor on the Waterford County jerseys for 2024. So there's certainly, the county executive is certainly looking at those two areas. Like I mentioned, the cost of county teams with regard to Cork, but if you look at Waterford, $1.2 million was spent on their county teams in 2023. There was an increase of over 200,000. So with those escalating costs, certainly Waterford will be exploring those naming rights, and I expect an announcement on that pretty soon.
And Tomás, this week's controversy certainly isn't the only controversy in and around the GAA that we've had over the past few months. Even controversy, you could say, that is somewhat connected to the whole political sphere. This week, the Minister for Sport, Catherine Martin, announcing that more live sporting events will be broadcast on free-to-air television under new plans. And they're pinpointing some of these 14 matches that they want to be essentially broadcast on free-to-air television. Do you have any more kind of info on that, or what is the process there?
Yeah, look, there is a list of protected events that are on the free-to-air list, and it looks like the government are looking to add more to that. Definitely in a GAA sense, they're looking to add the football quarterfinals, the football semi-finals, the hurling quarterfinals and semi-finals, the provincial finals as well across hurling and football. They're also looking to add the knockout stages of the Camogie and ladies football championships as well. And I suppose this comes in light of the GAA Go controversy, where, and even looking into 2024, it's going to be four Munster hurling games that will be behind a paywall. And
I just find it fascinating that, again, with the whole issue of GAA Go, you had Oireachtas committee meetings on it. Do you think that it will continue to be an issue and will continue to be talked about in the months ahead?
Absolutely, Aoife. Waterford's home games against Cork and Tipperary are broadcast in GAA Go. Three of Cork's four Munster matches will be on GAA Go as well. So this is going to come up as an issue again, I think, around April or May time.
And I'll have to, just finally before I wrap up, Tomás, what is your prediction for tomorrow's All-Ireland Club Senior Hurling Final? We have O'Loughlin's of Kilkenny and St. Thomas's of Galway going head-to-head. I'd love to hear your prediction on that.
Yeah, it's going to be really tight, Aoife. O'Loughlin Gaels have come through a lot of narrow scrapes in terms of the Ireland semi-final and also in the Leinster Championship and the Kilkenny Championship as well. And elective some top-class defenders in Mikey Butler and Hugh Lawler, and like Paddy Teagan is probably playing the hurling of his life. But I think probably St. Thomas's have a stronger attack, like particularly Conor Cooney, who's really in top form at the moment. And they'll be looking to back up that huge victory over Ballygunner in that memorable All-Ireland semi-final. I think it's going to be a close encounter, Aoife, but St. Thomas's attack just to change it.
Five counties, one big sports show. Sportsbeat Extra.
Earlier on in the week, the Irish rugby squad for the 2024 Six Nations was announced. To discuss this, I caught up with Rob O'Halloran, rugby correspondent with Extra.ie and the Irish Daily Mail. How do you think it fares? Do you think that they were too afraid in some ways to kind of ruffle the feathers a little bit?
Farrell, since he's come in, and it was the same 4 years ago when he took over just after a World Cup, he's back lads who are in form and who have established themselves. And you have to say, looking at the results over the last 4 years, he's been on the right track. Yeah, of course, Ireland didn't get to that elusive World Cup semi-final, but Test Series victory in New Zealand, Grand Slam success last year. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think that's been his logic. And you can see that in terms of even giving Peter O'Mahony the captaincy. Now, O'Mahony, like a phenomenal player, a phenomenal leader for Munster for over 10 years. But there were calls and a clamour from some aspects of the Irish fan base to see a younger player, perhaps a Caelan Doris or a Gary Ringrose, take up that mantle. Because who knows if Peter O'Mahony is going to be playing in 4 years' time when the 2027 World Cup comes around. But for Farrell, he's been open about it in the past. He said, listen, it's all about evolving what we have here, and that's his philosophy going into this tournament.
And Farrell saying that he believes Peter O'Mahony is thoroughly deserving of this captaincy, but I suppose, you know, with Johnny Sexton's exit from the squad, the question remains now, who's going to replace him as out half? Who do you think is best placed?
Well, on the evidence of the last 12 months, you'd have to say Munster's Jack Crowley from West Cork. He's been phenomenal since breaking through. He dethroned Joey Carberry, the province. Ben Healy had to move to Scotland, and you know, Crowley's made that shirt his own. And it looks like he's going to tie down that Munster jersey for the next 10 years. And looking at the Ireland team as well, like in terms of how he plays the game, high to the line, a real creative force, a brilliant footballer, a daring footballer. He seems most in the mould of what we would have seen from Sexton and his pomp. So it looks like Crowley's going to be the guy to get that first start anyway. And you know, Farrell and co, they're adaptable, they'll go from there. But on the evidence of the last 12 months, Crowley, whenever he's been called upon, even, you know, late 2022 when it was the test against Australia when Sexton pulled up injured, or whether it was coming from the bench during the Six Nations, or, you know, making his maiden test starts, he's just looked so relaxed and composed, and the pace of play and the creativity is certainly there. It'd be hard to see Kieran Frawley, who admittedly has done a great job at Leinster this season, but it's hard to see Frawley in such limited evidence in the number 10 jersey getting ahead of him in the pecking order at the start. And the same goes with Harry Byrne. Harry Byrne's obviously a fine talent, but he's young, he's inexperienced at test level even compared to a young Crowley. So it looks like it's Crowley's jersey to lose.
So obviously a lot of change ahead of this campaign, but I guess how do you think Ireland are fixed? What do you think the biggest challenge will be in the coming weeks before they head to Marseille?
Well, there's a lot of confidence and a good reason. Like, again, you know, we got knocked out of the World Cup by the width of Ronan Kelleher's hand. It could have been so different against New Zealand. You look at France and you look at the fact that Antoine Dupont, who is the best player on the planet, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else. And, you know, English fans would say the same thing, Welsh fans, All Blacks fans. But the fact that he's not there because he's actually competing with the Sevens team at the Paris Olympics this year, that's a boost for Ireland and their prospects. You know, Owen Farrell's not there for England. He's taking a break for his mental health, and good luck to him, but he won't be there either. But we also have to remember that this is an Ireland team that no longer has its chief conductor, Johnny Sexton, at his disposal. As well, you have to couple that with the fact that Ireland are playing away to France in the opener. You know, Farrell's done so much, Andy Farrell that is, since he came in. He's beaten every nation that's been put in front of him at one stage or another. But one thing he hasn't done is beat France on French soil. He didn't do it in 2020. He almost did it in 2022. But again, Ireland came up short. So that's a challenge in itself, as is going to Twickenham. It will be a reinvented, a new look England. They've 7 uncapped players in their squad for the championship. You know, what challenge could that prove? There'll be a lot of eager lads trying to put on a show for their home crowd in that game. Ireland are definitely in the title fight. They're definitely, you know, the Grand Slam champions. They're definitely up there as top contenders. But I think we need to be realistic that this is a new era as well. And while Ireland do have a great chance of going on to win it, when you're on the road to England, you're on the road to France, it's always a little bit more difficult than the Six Nations.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
Excitement is building in Kilkenny ahead of tomorrow's All-Ireland Senior Club Hurling Final, where O'Loughlin Gaels face St Thomas's of Galway. The Kilkenny club will be looking to do the treble following wins for Tulliher Rossbirkin and Thomastown in the junior and intermediate finals last week. But to discuss what the mood is like on the ground this weekend in O'Loughlin's, I spoke to club man Eddie Buckley. How proud are you to see your own club O'Loughlin Gaels in the decider against St Thomas's of Galway?
Oh, listen, for us, the excitement is really building at this stage. I suppose, Aoife, for yourself and your listeners, you have to just maybe think about the fact that while supporters are hugely excited, the team and players themselves, they're trying to get into maybe a bit of a cocoon in some respects and just focus on the game in question. For those of your listeners who probably don't know a whole pile about us in O'Loughlin's, we're that club that's opposite Nolan Park here in Kilkenny, and we're in existence about, say, 50 years. The 1,000 members we have, but of all ages, boys and girls, men and women, it's a fantastic achievement because we were there before and beaten in a final in 2011 by a Galway side, Clarenbridge. And for us to get back there 12 years later, it's been a long time coming and it's been a hard slog. And it's amazing in sport. I'm sure some of the guys who played in 2011 would have said, we'll be back within the next year or two. But it just doesn't work out like that. So to answer your question, we're just so excited and really looking forward to it, Aoife.
You have Brian Hogan taking the team to the All-Ireland. Was he involved last time out?
Oh, yes, indeed he was. And that's the one thing about life. It has a great symmetry and rhythm to it. I mean, Brian, who's our manager, on this occasion, Brian was a huge Kilkenny player, and yes, he played. And believe it or not, our coach, Nigel Skeen, again, one of our own, was involved. Alan Gagan and Alan O'Brien, two of our selectors, all of those guys were involved. So for them, they understand the challenge that's ahead, and for the club, it allows us to close a loop and to move on as well. So again, it's just all part of being part of a community, and you see, people coming in different guises to do different roles and to offer something new to the club as it goes along the years.
You mentioned there, obviously, the last time that you had reached this stage back in 2011 when you faced another Galway side, Clarenbridge. St Thomas's, a Galway side, again, a physical side. And that is very much in true Galway fashion. So I suppose, how do you think that the team will manage that?
Well, I suppose for ourselves, I mean, we're kind of known in Kilkenny ourselves as a kind of a gritty side, and we bring that rural city mix to things. I mean, to pick up on your point, St. Thomas's, the last day, in the semi-final, they were aggressive from the off. Every score, every tackle, every turnover was greeted by great support from their fans. And that's to be hugely admired, because that really is all part of championship hurling. After the game, I was just looking at, David Burke. He said, that their particular semi-final was probably the greatest semi-final of all time. And yes, you can see the level of intensity, Moore Park, and that Saturday evening, where a very fancied Ballygunner team, was taken on by St. Thomas's. But I think a lot of people forget that while St. Thomas's would have been a little bit disappointed in their semi-final, outing last year, the previous year, they were only narrowly beaten by Ballyhale Shamrocks, I believe, if I remember right, by a last puck of a ball by TJ Reid. So these are guys a bit like ourselves. They know what they're about and they know what they're going to bring to the thing. And I think in lots of senses on Sunday, you're going to see two teams that will certainly will die with their boots on.
I suppose what you're saying, really, there is a bit of hunger on both sides, definitely coming into it.
Yeah, and for us, I mean, you know, Loughlin's in a nice way. You could think of us all year since the quarterfinal here in Kilkenny victory against Mullinavat. We probably have been narrow win merchants. You know, I mean, we beat Mullinavat by 2 points. Our final, my goodness, what a team to beat Ballyhale Shamrocks by a point. You know, the benchmark team of modern club hurling. And then even in the Leinster final against Nafina, we won by a point. And Rory Oak from Cushendall, we beat him by a point, having gone down by 8 points in that game. So I think, you know, when you look at St. Thomas's in the last quarter, I think against Ballygunner, the lead changed 5 times. And we're very much that type of team as well. So I think it's going to be interesting on Sunday who'll adapt to conditions, who'll adapt to the pitch, and who'll adapt to the occasion as well. Because I think, like if you were looking at a horse racing, you look at the form book and you see the type of two teams that are going in, and they're very much teams that will, you know, will go toe-to-toe.
Obviously, some of your star players, a fantastic full backline or backline with plenty of county stars. And I have to say, Mark Bergen, I mean, scoring 9 points, was it the last day out, 4 from play, a stalwart, I'm sure, in O'Loughlin Gael's terms. But I'm sure he's in, I suppose, the peak of his fitness and the prime of his game heading into this.
Yeah, and maybe just to say about Mark, Mark was there in 2011. And I saw some words he mentioned there during the week where, again, this sentiment that, you know, when you get beaten in a final, you believe that you can get back there, but it takes a long time. I think Mark, at almost 34 years of age as our captain, you know, he speaks, you know, in the right way for us, and he represents us so well. I mean, on our county people, you know, Hugh Lawler, Mikey Butler, Paddy Deegan, and Conor Heary as well, who's a panellist, you know. Those guys, that you know, I think the public know all about them. They've seen them play numerous times. And as guys to deal with, Aoife, they're fantastically easy to deal with insofar as that, you know, they, once they come back with their club, they're so into, they're there, they're driving things on. And their professionalism in terms of, say, their training and their application, it's a joy actually to deal with them.
I'd just like to finish, Eddie, on, I guess, the atmosphere in and around the club at the moment. You have the flags out and local businesses and so on with the green and white flying from the rafters.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important, because behind the scenes, there is so many people that drive this thing forward. I mean, last week there I see, you know, Sean Hogan, you know, our development chair, had a load of guys out doing the roundabouts, putting up the bunting. This is all part of being involved. And, you know, people being asked to do the things and to play their little piece is so important. One of the things you learn in life actually is that, you know, when good people do good things, that's great. But when everybody does their little bit, the whole thing takes off. And I think under our chairman, Johnny Hoolan, or our secretary, John Galway, and all of the executive, we've been very fortunate to have a bunch of people who can mesh everything together so that we can, please God, give the best account of ourselves on Sunday.
This is Sportsbeat Extra.
Now, there's one game you need to put in the diary for this week's Sport on Screen on Sunday. Live coverage of O'Loughlin Gaels versus St. Thomas's beginning on TG Cahir from 1 o'clock tomorrow, with throw-in there 1:30. In the Premier League, Sheffield United go up against West Ham from 2. That one is being streamed live on Discovery Plus and live on TNT Sports 1, while the big one will see Liverpool away to Bournemouth, with that Premier League game kicking off at 4:30 live on Sky Sports. That's all for this week's Sportsbeat Extra. Megan's up next with this week's Beat Anthems.